12 viewers, this is Mike Q, and you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network.
Get down!
What's he got behind him there?
Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas, well, way back in episode 232, we told you our favorite things to do on the Strip, property by property. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, what about downtown? What about Fremont Street? What about Fremont Street? We should do that. And that's what we're going to do this episode. Our favorite things to do, property by property, under the Fremont Street experience. Again, it could be a show, could be a restaurant, might be a bar. Plus, we've got real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Let's get started. Oh, it's the Dillon XL650 Progressive Load Press. My mistake. I thought it was a 550 load.
Yeah, I didn't think you had the upgraded version.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Sometimes you don't know about Mikey. He's very, very powerful.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast.
That's it, baby. Look out. Jeez, ouch. That's going to leave a mark.
And now your host,
that's the wind.
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was, Mr. Scott Whitney.
I keep waiting for you to fall over.
Which, oh, from the flying part? Yeah. I never do because I gotta fly. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, yay. Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, let me congratulate you because you are watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from
Las Vegas.
That's right. And oh, by the way, your host, we're back. The gang is back. The team is back. These two hosts, these two handsome fellas, we've been here for a combined total of 30
decades.
Thousand decades, which means we're not only going to tell you what it's like to live here. No, we're adventurers. Look at us. We have whips.
Getting abused.
Like that dude on the movies, whatever that guy's name was, Stumpin'. I forget. And we're talking about the Strip. We're going to talk about Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan, if you just completely dig this whole Las Vegas thing, well, our show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. on the Pacific time. You can find us at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Come and be a part of the live show. Be a part of the live chat. Great people in here. You'll meet some nice people, which are us too. You're going to hang out with some ne'er-do-wells, I believe that's the word. But they're pretty nice people as well. And the cool part is you get to be a part of the show if you're in the live chat. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches. How you doing, hot stuff? Great to have you here. I have been a online broadcaster for 10 years or so. I run the Vegas Video Network, and I'm so happy to have you guys here. So thanks for playing along. And he's back. Welcome back. Your dreams are your ticket. It's, what are you doing?
Stretch.
What are you doing?
Stretch.
What are you doing?
My son needed something, so I got to take care of it for him.
Oh, for the love of God. Does he not know that you're a professional broadcaster?
No, he doesn't. He forgets.
He doesn't. Anyways,
he forgets.
He's back. It's RQS. It's Drinky Pants. It's the managing partner at KSHP Radio. But we all know him as Brett Gross, everybody.
Hello again, everybody. Great to be back. I'm wearing my lucky, this is actually a St. Louis Cardinals hat, but I felt lucky last night that my beloved St. Louis Blues knocked out the Stanley Cup champion defending champs, the Chicago Blackhawks. And that was a very nice feeling.
Was it?
Absolutely.
I felt very similarly when, I got nothing.
Well, you know, the funny thing was, and people think people don't watch hockey, it was the highest rated hockey game since the highest rated show in sports since the Super Bowl.
I was going to make fun of the highest rated hockey game. So five people were watching.
Yeah, there was gazillions that were watching.
That's not even.
Peeps were watching.
People were watching the whole
Peeps
hockey.
Were watching.
Hockey's a pretty fun sport to watch.
It's a great sport.
If you were to guess the over and under, what would it be?
In the hockey game, about five.
Let's go with this show.
Oh, Well, I think we're going to be on speed dial today, so let's go a little lower. How about 78 and a half?
78 and a hook. I appreciate your thinking. I think that you may be right. We will see. Oh, stop. I also want to, before I do that, I want to thank Mike Hugh. Way to go, Mikey, for doing that opening video. I'll explain how Mike did that and how you can do it right after the this. First show, Scott? Feels like it, doesn't it?
I say nothing.
First show.
You do okay.
First time do show.
Don't fire me, boss.
All right. Okay, so we did this, it was like 30 episodes ago, where we went down the strip and said, hey, here are all the cool things to do at each individual property. Got a lot of positive feedback on that. And got an email that I'm going to read a little bit later that said, hey, I saw that, but what about downtown? What are the things that we should be looking at downtown? And I was like, that would be a good idea for a show. Why don't we do that? And given that I'm in charge, that's what we're going to do. So we're going to head on down to the Fremont Street Experience, and we're going to go property by property and learn a little bit about what we should be doing. Now, a little insight about Fremont Street before we get started. There are 44 million people who come to Las Vegas every year. Of those 44 million, do you have a, did you look at our notes?
I looked, but I didn't see that particular.
Okay, if you
note.
Were to guess, how many people actually visit Fremont Street?
I'd say about, I'll give you 20%.
20%. So you're thinking about 8 million.
8 to 10 million.
Okay, the answer is 17 million.
Oh, that's close.
That's 38%. And get this.
Oh, 17 million.
17 million.
Oh, wow.
17 million, 38%. That is the same number of people who visited Disneyland, your all-time favorite
place. I told you. See, Disneyland's overrated.
No.
Fremont Street's
easy.
Free.
Easy. Easy. No, no one goes
Family
to Fremont.
Family Afford Disneyland's bankruptcy. Family Afford Fremont Street is
welcome
free.
Back. I guarantee you nobody goes to Fremont Street and doesn't spend money. I would argue they probably spend more money than they do at Disneyland.
Well, that's because they're drunken fools.
Oh, now you're making excuses.
Perhaps
I'm
they might.
I'm telling you that they do.
But not as many people gamble as they used to. They like to get
and
those 8-foot yard drinks.
They still spend the money. Okay, yeah. So let's start off with what you can't do on Fremont Street anymore. So if we look at the map of Fremont Street, and I will acknowledge that this map is a little bit difficult to figure out, but that's the map of Fremont Street.
Look at the S's.
Yes, and you can see from the, we're going from the left to right. So that tennis court you see there, that's actually at the Plaza Hotel.
What do those S's mean?
Where do you see S's?
Three of them down at the bottom.
Those, you know what those are? Those are parking garages, and that's the people driving on the parking garages.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So if you start from Main Street, Main and Fremont, which is the leftmost, the westmost part of where the experience is, the north part of that is what's a casino called the Las Vegas Club. That has been shut down. It's shut down because it was bought by the Stevens brothers.
Used to be a baseball-themed casino.
It did.
And it was one of the favorites of the Hawaiians. Along with the California.
Yeah, and now one of the big ones is the Fremont Casino. But anyways, I digress. So it was supposed to be turned into a giant CVS. That was the rumor, or a Walgreens, because we don't have quite enough of those.
No,
yet.
We need one at each end of the strip.
Oh, sure we do.
And the Fremont Street.
And so they, so the Stevens brothers, those are the same folks who own the D, and also own Golden Gate. They bought the Vegas Club. Now, that's interesting, and there's talk about what they may or may not do. Nobody really knows. But they just bought more stuff. So they bought the land adjacent to the Las Vegas Club, right next to it, which is where the Mermaid's Casino was at, okay, which was a shit show of a casino. Not, you know, it was known for nothing, really, except for people handing out beads. And then across the street, across Fremont Street, is the Le Bayou Casino. So if you're paying attention, what that means is the Stevens brothers. Oh, and they also bought Glitter Gulch. Glitter Gulch. I've heard about Glitter Gulch. Don't know much about it.
Been there.
A friend of mine was there.
Done that.
And he's the one that came out after 2 hours and said, I got to go back in. I can't meet you guys. This gal loves me. And I was like, bleh.
Well, we were down there for an event with my Rotary Club, and we were debunking our president. And we go down and embarrass him on Fremont Street. So he was dressed as Elvis in a Elvis suit that is probably about six sizes too small for him.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was, you know, he was displaying more than he needed to himself.
Good talk.
So we had to take him into Glitter Gulch and gave him $40. And
yep.
He had to try and buy a G-string off of one of the girls, which he did.
Did he?
And ironically, the girl was wearing two. Yeah, I apparently in case she gets a hole in one. I don't know.
You got to have a backup.
Yeah. So
it's
she
like,
was
it's like NASCAR. You're driving a NASCAR, you have a tire blow up. Boop, I'm okay. I'm
so covered. Then we made him wear that out on Fremont Street where he proceeded to play Twister with tourists.
Hmm.
And we almost got arrested about three times.
And he's the president of the Rotary
He was.
Club. He was.
When I was president, we were down at Fremont Street as well. I was dressed as Michael Jackson.
Of course you were.
And I had the baby powder on me. And I had to dance with all the tourists and carry the big boom box.
I've seen you dance.
And dress as Michael
That's
Jordan.
That's a crime. Were you arrested?
Yeah, Michael Jackson, I should say, not Michael Jordan.
Arrest was pending?
Yeah, I was told to put the music down or you're going to jail.
Well, there you go.
Had a good time, though. Got a lot. But those mermaids were dancing with me.
Well, of course they were. Yeah. What else they got to do?
Yeah, so we're having a good time.
But if you pay attention to the geography of what's going on here, the Stevens brothers now own from Main Street all the way to First Street. They own all of that.
Wow.
So they're the only people or organization, I forget the name of their LLC or whatever they call it. They're the only folks who own an entire city block of Fremont Street Experience, which is interesting. What's interesting also is how Fremont Street Experience works. So there are eight member properties within the Fremont Street Experience. You don't have to be a member of the Fremont Street Experience to be underneath the canopy. They can't force you to do that. For example, the Las Vegas Club, when it was still a casino, was not a member of the Fremont Street Experience, LLC, whatever.
So they got no lights.
Well, so they actually did have, they're still required to do the lights on, lights off, that kind of stuff. But here's, and also they were owned by Plaza. That's who the Stevens guys bought all this stuff from, was the people who also own the Plaza. The Plaza used to be a part of the Fremont Street Experience ownership thing as well. They're not. So you don't have to be there. But who owns these? Who are these eight members? So Boyd Gaming owns three properties. They own Fremont Street, which is actually on the Fremont Street Experience, and then two other ones that are actually within Fremont Street Experience. That's the California Hotel and Casino and the Main Street Station Hotel, Casino, and Brewery. Then, the Steven Brothers own two. That's the D and Golden Gate. Binion's and Four Queens are affiliated, and then Golden Nugget is all by themselves. Now, these all don't contribute equally. In other words, you don't get a vote for each property. It's dependent upon how much money you put in there, and that depends on your voting rights because these guys vote for stuff like what, for example? How much budget for live music? They had to vote to decide whether they wanted to build Slotzilla or not. If the Fremont Street Experience members said no, then Slotzilla would never have been built, for example.
What is Slotzilla?
Slotzilla is the big giant zip line.
Okay.
So that was built with Fremont Street Experience built Slotzilla.
Gotcha.
I think it was $10 million. Or I forget how much it was, but it was a lot of money. And that had to be approved by the members of there.
Okay.
So I was wondering, I actually originally wondered, now does every property get its own vote? Because that could become an issue in time. But for example, Golden Gate is considered an associate member because the Golden Gate Casino is a small casino. It's a smaller size than, say, for example, Golden Nugget. So the argument is it wouldn't be fair for Golden Nugget to have a vote and have Golden Gate have a similar vote. They're not the same size properties.
Right, right.
So they do it based upon how much they're contributing. And so, for example, the LVC, the Las Vegas Club, which is now currently being called 18 Fremont, which is the address, that's the name it's going by right now. They're not a member because they're not a casino.
Okay.
So once they are ready to be a casino, then they're going to have to do an application, and then they have to be voted in by the members. Now, naturally, the Stevens are members, so there's a good chance they'll probably get in.
Sure.
So that's what's happening there. They don't think anything's going to happen with what the Stevens are going to do until probably 2018. So there's a lot. There's time to go there. But what's interesting is I've never seen a guy own a block, a whole block of Fremont Street. So if I were the other properties, I could see why they might be a little nervous about that. All right. Let's start going down and doing stuff. I'm going to talk about Plaza only because Plaza has done some good things. So Plaza is not under Fremont Street Experience, of course, but it's at the very end. But when we first moved here, Plaza was a shit show. It was not a good property. It smelled bad. It looked bad. It didn't have anything. Games were old. Carpet was old. The people working there were old. It was not a good place.
Actually, it was home to the most powerful radio station in Las Vegas as well.
Really?
For a long time, KDON AM 720 had their studios inside the plaza.
Oh, did they really?
And the lady who owned it at the time, she was just off her rocker cuckoo.
Really?
As you walked into the place, she had nothing but cuckoo clocks all over the place.
Really?
Yeah, and she'd be like bending to crafts and cuckoo clocks. You're like, am I at the right? Is this KDON? The 750,000 watt blowtorch that reaches Canada and 12 Western states.
Really?
Yeah, this is KDON. Like, holy
shit. It was AM?
Yeah, it still is.
It still is. It's 50,000 watts.
Oh, it's a blowtorch, yeah.
Holy crap.
The way that works, so everybody understands, originally when power of radio stations, KDWN is their call letters, but when radio came about, there was no other way to communicate with the country except with these clear channel radio stations. So you'd have one from New York to Los Angeles with Pittsburgh and Chicago and Indianapolis and St. Louis and Kansas City, Denver, Las Vegas. Every major city had a 50,000 watt blowtorch. So when the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor and FDR has to go and say, you know, day that lives in infamy, everybody is around their radio being able to hear from the 50,000 watt blowtorch station, which obviously was a huge advantage for that station because you could hear them everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are other stations that have 720 frequencies, but if you're in the West, all of the other ones have to reduce their power at sundown because KDON literally blowtorches into Canada. So if you're ever driving around in rural Nevada or up in Montana, just sun goes down, turn on 720, you'll be listening home.
So now are they at 50,000 watts all the time,
yeah,
or are they lower in the day and they get stronger?
No, they're 50,000 all the time. Now, if you're let's say you're 720 in wherever. Let's say you're relatively close. You're in Cedar City, Utah, and you're 720. They're not worried about you during the day. But at night, what happens is that particular station in Cedar City has to go from basically a circular pattern to a pattern that looks like this, that gets cut off, because here comes KDON shooting all the way up to Salt Lake City.
Wow.
And around the West. So it really is quite interesting.
That's
how that
pretty
all works.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the reason why I'm bringing up the plaza is not because there's crazy people doing radio there or because it used to be a shit show, is because they actually spent a lot of money cleaning it up. And what's really interesting about it is if you go into the plaza now and you look around, you'll notice they have newer furniture, both in the rooms and around the casino. And that new furniture came from, of all places, Fountain Blue. Fountain Blue, what's that? Well, that's that $1 billion halfway done project on the Strip where they're like, what, you wanted $2 million?
Yeah.
I got to go. Sorry. So it's still there. And they're like, well, we got to sell some of this stuff off. So they had a boatload of furniture and Plaza bought most of it. So that's where you get your furniture is half off at the Fountain Blue. Now, what do you do at the Plaza? Here's the thing. They've got a beer garden there. I haven't been there. It's kind of a good idea. But they've got the restaurant, which is called Oscar's. It's by far the best thing they've got going in that property. It's also got the best view. That used to be a pool. So if you look at Plaza, you'll see that big, round, goldfish bowl-looking kind of thing. That's Oscar's restaurant. Casino had a scene shot in there. Good food, great view. If you're going to eat there, get out in that bowl. And if you can, you can get situated and look right down the middle of Fremont Street. It's been a little bit blocked off now because of the end of Slotzilla, but you can still kind of see what's going down there. So that's where you got to do at Plaza.
They have some good poker tournaments. They have a nice poker room, some good poker tournaments down there. So Plaza's worth checking out if you enjoy poker.
Okay. Next, Golden Gate. So Golden Gate's the first property you see on the south side of Fremont Street, right next to Main. So it's on Main and Fremont Street. This property was opened in 1906, and it was the property that had the very first phone installed in all of Las Vegas, and its phone number was 1.
1. Perfect.
That's it. Yeah. I got to call Bill over to Golden Gate. Doot. Actually,
rotary dial, that's for sure, yes.
That's more like...
Yeah, one's quick. Zero is the long one. Yeah. Just imagine having called 911. Oh my God! Come on!
How did he die? Well,
he got an 8. He hit an 8 instead.
He got 411 information. What city, please? Oh, for fuck's sake!
Let me. Would you like fire, ambulance, or police?
I'm dead. Open 1906, first phone number, number one. This is a, and they've done some, they've spent some money on updating, but this is pretty much an old casino. It has that old kind of vibe. I mean, like I said, they've spent some money on upgrading some stuff. They've upgraded their rooms. They've upgraded some of the stuff. There's an area there where you can see some things from way, way, way back when. But there's not really much to say about the casino itself. But they do have one property within that property that is very well known, and that's DuPar's Restaurant. This is the breakfast restaurant, probably the most famous breakfast restaurant in all of Las Vegas. So a lot of people don't know about it because it's not, you don't really, it's not super obvious. There is a sign for it, but it's not really a big obvious kind of thing, partly because I don't think they need it. And what I mean by that is morning time, you go there, you will be in line. You just have to decide that's okay. You know, and they have a bar where, you know, a counter where you can sit at the counter, and those are packed from, I don't know, probably 7 o'clock in the morning to probably 11 in the morning. It's just packed. But it's pretty good food. So we've eaten there before. Good. If you like the pancakes, they have good pancakes. Big, giant, you know, servings of all that kind of stuff. So that's the one thing that I would do at Golden Nugget. All right. Speaking of gold.
Golden Gate.
Or Golden Gate. Sorry. Thank you. Let's continue on to the Golden Nugget. This is my favorite property in all of the Fremont Street.
Well, that makes sense. It has the most to offer.
Yeah, it's a AAA four diamond rated property. It's a nice property. They've done good stuff there. Owned by big boy companies. They, you know, they have their shit together for sure. There's a couple things, and actually there's more things to do there than any other property in my opinion. But so let's talk about some of the fun stuff. So first, they did an upgrade of their pool, and they have knocked it out of the park. Just, it's one of the nicest pools in Las Vegas, let alone Fremont. It's easily the best. It's the best pool in downtown. There's not even a close second that I can think of.
And they have a restaurant with wonderful viewing of the pool.
Yeah. They actually have a Mexican thing and an Italian place that overlook the pool, and they have a bar that overlooks the pool as well. But so the pool, which is what they call it, the Shark Tank. Is a great place, and part of the reason why they call it a shark tank is because there are sharks in the, well, not in the pool, but in a very giant aquarium that's in the middle of the pool. And if you like to go on slides, they have a slide that slides you right through the shark tank, which is pretty cool. It's fun to watch that. So that pool, if it's summertime, which it was last week until Thursday and Friday, then all hell broke loose. It was Armageddon, wind and shit. But last Wednesday would have been a great place, good time to go to that pool. So then, what about food? They have a steak place there called Vic and Anthony's. This is the same kind of thing. You don't really hear much about Vic and Anthony's now. But it was our go-to steak restaurant for a long time until Capital Grille kind of popped up. So it was one of my favorite places. You know, it's the white tablecloth, dark wood, and the mahogany kind of vibe. It's waiters who know what they're doing. Not the same kind of waiters that, I mean, these waiters still want other jobs probably because they're younger, as opposed to like the Cap Grill guys and maybe the DeMonico guys and the people over at Joel Rubijon. But nonetheless, good food, good bar. I like it. Now, my other really good place is Chart House. And what I like about Chart House is not so much just eating there at the restaurant. I like to eat at the bar because, A, they've got a pretty cool fish tank, but the tables on the outskirt of the bar, those tables actually move.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and nobody knows that unless you ask. And then they actually can raise them. So here's the tip. If you want to have dinner, don't eat dinner at the restaurant because you'll wait. Eat dinner at the bar. The table's down here, like a normal bar table. And now it's a dinner table. It's very cool.
Interesting.
So we've done that a couple times. That's an inside scoop from your buddy Scott.
Yeah, very nice.
And then they've got a couple bars that I like as well. They have Bar 46. I like that bar because it's on Fremont Street. So you can actually be sitting. I'm a people watch guy. So if you want to do people watching on Fremont Street, and of course, a lot of bars to do that. But this is a good one. It's a sit-down kind of place. But it's literally right there. So you're spilled out onto Fremont Street. You can watch everybody walking around. And then also Gold Digger is a pretty cool bar. And it's the second floor. Same thing. It's outside looking on top of Fremont Street. So I like that as well.
Well, also you should mention, in my opinion, second best sports book in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Tony Miller is the race and sports book director. He's terrific. It's a great book. If you like college football and the NFL, we're in April. About June, they'll have their games of the year out. And you'll be able to bet games that don't happen for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Let's say Notre Dame's playing USC in November, and the line comes out in June, and you can really get incredible advantages as things happen during the course of the season, where the line might be 5, and by the time the game goes on, off, it might be 14 because somebody got hurt or somebody's having a crappy year. So it's really a great spot for that. And Tony, they do a great job. So they're one of the more aggressive race and sports books, especially because they're in an independent race and sports book. They're not tied into the conglomerates where everybody's so afraid to take a bet.
If they're doing their own numbers.
If you're coming to town and you want to make a bet, Tony's going to take your bet.
Oh, I didn't
Meaning,
know that.
Bring some cash. He'll book it.
Oh, wow.
He'll book it.
Okay, cool.
Some of these guys
are there.
Yeah, I have plenty of times.
Okay.
Where, you know, some places say our limit on the NFL game is $3,000.
Right.
Say, okay, give me $3,000 on the Patriots. Well, hang on a second. I have to ask permission for that. You're like, well, your thing says $3,000 right there. Well, I'm sorry, sir. We'll only take $500. What do you mean you only take $500? It says right there $3,000. And they're just so chicken shit.
Yeah.
Especially station casinos.
Really?
I'm going to throw them under the bus. They're a bunch of weenies. In that regard, because they just won't take a bet. I mean, if you're going to post your rules, honor your rules.
Right.
If you want to lower your limits, then lower your limits.
Are they using an outside company for that, like William Hill or whatever?
No, they don't. They have their own.
They do their own stuff.
Books, yeah.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Moving forward, we're going to keep going east, young man. Next up is Four Queens. Four Queens, the casino, same thing. It's a pretty rundown casino.
Yeah.
The casino itself, there's not much going for it. There's a couple of things that are of value there. So arguably the most talked about restaurant on Fremont Street is Hugo's Cellar. Hugo's is their answer to fancy restaurant stuff. It's underground. It's in a cellar. This is a place that has, you know, my measurement for a great restaurant. So it's got tableside Caesar salad. They provide a long stem rose for every woman who walks in. So it's a classy kind of thing. I haven't heard a bad thing written about it or talked about it. The only thing I would say I don't like about it is it's got no view.
Well, it is. You're in the basement.
Yeah.
The food's fantastic. The ambiance is great. It's very romantic. It's a fun place to go. But at the same time, you're feeling like you're cooped up.
How would you rate it? See, that's what I thought you might do. So I've not eaten there.
I've been there several times.
What's your opinion on the staff there?
Oh, they're very good. I mean, I haven't been there probably in a couple of years, but
are they professional staff or are
absolutely.
They people who want to be, you know, working at
No, they're guys that have
been
there for a long time. A lot of lifers.
Okay.
Guys, you know.
But I keep wanting to go there. It's been my intent to do that. I hear, like I said, nothing but good things. So, I'll eventually go. Arguably one of the top 2 or 3 restaurants on Fremont Street. And the other thing from an entertainment perspective, and we've talked about this till we're blue in the face, but you know, my go-to place, if I'm going to take somebody downtown and I want to show them a Vegas show, I take them to Mike Hammer's show. Mike's a hustler. He's out there, you know, he's got his trucks and his vans and he's got his street team and all that good stuff. But that doesn't mean shit unless you have a good show. So he does. It's a comedy magic thing. I have an affinity for the comedy magic thing. But the great thing is he does really strong crowd work. He's very fast on his feet. I've never seen somebody come out of there going, oh, that was a shit show. Matter of fact, I brought my in-laws there. And, you know, my in-laws who are from Effingham, they are the quintessential Effingham folks, which means they don't say much. They're very kind of Midwestern, whatever, kind of guys. And they came out of there thinking that was the best damn thing they ever seen. I became a god in their eyes.
I was hanging out with 3 boys from the Effingham this weekend.
I became like, that Scott guy is a pretty good after all. I've known him for 10 years. All of a sudden, I wasn't so bad because, you know, I gave him a good time on Fremont Street. Part of that had to do with, I think, showing them Mike's show. So that's it, Four Queens. All right, moving forward to Fremont Hotel and Casino. This is another casino that the casino's like, well, this is another old Fremont Street casino. There's not.
Yeah, it was kind of like Binion's back when Binion's was kind of just put me out of my misery.
It's a little bit like that. Where's Binion's on here?
I don't know. I don't see
it. Oh, shit, I don't even have it on there. What the fuck was wrong with me? All right, well, that was funny. What the hell? All right, let's talk about Binion's first, and then we'll do Fremont Street. Binion's. Okay, here's why you got to go to Binion's. That was the place where the World Series of Poker started. That was it. So you got to go to
Vivid. Yeah, there were only 60 players the first time they started.
It doesn't matter. You got to go because that's where it was at. Yeah. And I think that's cool.
And then they played the final table on Fremont Street.
Yeah.
Out in the heat in July. Like, it's a little warm out here.
I can't believe I forgot that. So Binion's is fun because of that. Binion's also has a really good restaurant. Again, not many people know. It's on the second floor.
Right.
Great view. The white tablecloth, dark wood. I mean, it's the standard steak restaurant kind of place. But better, you know, good drinks, strong drinks, as I recall. Very good pours. And the wait staff, we've been there twice. Both times was very good. So the steaks aren't as good as the Capital Grill, but they're pretty damn good. But you got it. Now, I will tell you, Binion's is where I played three-card poker, and I got a royal flush.
Ooh.
Have I told you this?
No.
Oh, it was great. So I'm not a card player. I'm not a gambler. That's just not my thing. But this is when we were visiting. We weren't living here. And we were downtown. I'm like, well, I'm going to three-card poker. How hard can it be? It's only three cards. So I'm playing and I'm doing what I normally do. I'm paying my $1, $2, $4 bets. I just want to survive and get a couple of free drinks and go. So I'm playing, and I get a royal flush, and it paid me $400. I'm like, holy Jesus, I am the best poker player ever. But my rule is, if I win big, stop. You have to stop. So I thank you. I tip the dealer, and I'm like, gotta go. So I take off. And now Melissa's like, okay, well, let's go, honey. And so we were walking out, and there's a whole bunch of three-card poker tables all over the place. I'm like, well, I don't want to play. And there's one, a gal kind of looks at us with a come-to-hither look, hello. And Melissa's like, well, let me play a hand. I'm like, well, sure, I won $400. What's the harm? So she plays one hand, royal flush.
No shit.
So it's two royal flushes in a row. We got $800. And I'm like, well, clearly that's Whitney's. Are the best three-card poker players in the world. And it reminds me when I was a kid, I went to a carnival, one of those touring carnivals, and one of the things is where you take a ball and you knock over, milk or whatever. Yeah. And I in the daytime, I was in the zone. I couldn't not knock them all down. And one of the wins was a wallet, a crappy little plastic wallet, but in the wallet was a dollar. And to play was 50 cents. So I was hitting it. Here's my 50. Got a dollar. Hitting it. Here's my 50. So I made, I don't know, I made $3 or $4, five, maybe $6. I was 8, 10, whatever. I'm like, holy Christ, I'm a genius. Very much like three-card poker. So I come out of there going, all right, well, I am now a three-card poker stud. Actually, I think we just bought our house in Aliante, but we haven't moved here. So I go back down the next day going, I want to kick your ass. Nope.
Back to reality.
I couldn't win a hand. It, to save my life, it was so painful. And that's when I learned a valuable lesson. The same lesson I learned back when I was 8 years old and I went back that night to play and lost all my money. You can't win all the time, Scott. It's not possible. So,
best way to double your money is fold it and put it in your pocket.
Right. So, opinions, you just got to walk in. I think that's the place that has the $1 million stack as well. So if you want your picture with $1 million, you go there. Okay. Now we will move to Fremont Hotel and Casino. Like I said, this place, not much going on. This is a place that has that their high restaurant is Tony Roma's, the rib joint.
Right.
Yikes is the response to that. They have a buffet that's so bad that it's kind of funny.
Okay.
We went, Melissa, I forced her one time. I'm like, we just got to go to this buffet. She goes, it looks like shit. Oh, we got to go. Let's just go.
It'll be ptomaine poisoning.
It'll be for the show. That was the time. But back then, I'm like, okay, we got to do something for the show. So we went, and it was a shit show. It was horrible food, horrible everything, but it was so funny because adults are running this. The same types of people, humans, who run Cirque du Soleil, Love, also run Buffet over
sure.
at it's, they're humans.
Not the same budget.
Well, holy Christ, it was so. So, only thing I can say about Fremont Hotel and Casino is Tony Ramos, Buffet. But they're trying to up their game. They have a new bar
Let's order the skinny chickens.
Yeah, right. We charge us chickens that are, you know, slightly sick.
Yeah. Looks a little gangly over there.
Brock!
Don't worry, somebody will eat them.
Get on in there. They have a new bar called Filament Bar.
That's an interesting name.
Yeah, and the reason it's called that is because there's a lot of light bulbs with exposed filaments.
But maybe the drinks were full of filament.
Filament. And that's their newest thing. It's kind of their vibe or their attempt to have a nicer bar. So it's got, you know, fancier cocktails. And these are your $8 drinks, which would be probably $20 over on the Strip. So they're probably going after, like, therapy. We talked about that place a few weeks ago. They're going after that. So if you find yourself at the Fremont Hotel Casino and you want to do something without, you know, getting sick from food or going to Tony Roma's, because holy crap, they have one of those in Effingham, I think. Actually, they don't, but don't go there. Go to Filament Bar. All right, let's head on over to the D, which stands for what?
I have no idea.
either Derek, which is the guy who owns it, or Detroit.
Okay.
Here's the thing that they do. So they've spent obviously a shitload of money on that property. Better casino floor, brighter, newer stuff. Clearly, there's some money being spent. They have the thing called the Long Bar. They spend a lot of time marketing the Long Bar. Here's what's neat about the Long Bar. It's long.
No,
it's a long bar. Do you like flair bartenders?
No, I don't know. Oh, flipping the drinks around like Carnival at Harrah's.
Yeah,
they're cool.
Well, there you go. They have those there, but that's not what I'm going to recommend. Because flair bartenders are great if you want to watch flair bartenders, but if you want to drink, those people piss you off. Hey, dude, I just want a Tanqueray and tonic. I don't want a Tanqueray and tonic mixed by a crazy guy who doesn't know how to put the fucking drink in the glass. Give it to me. Just give me the drink. So they're like kind of like practice flares. They're not the big time flares. They're like they're working their way up to Carnival Court, basically.
Okay.
But here's what they're doing that I think is really cool, and they get a lot of positive juice for this. So it's a two-story property. On the second floor, they've got this vintage casino place. So remember when you used to hear coins come out of the casino?
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. People used
ding,
to really
ding,
think
ding,
that.
Ding, 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 ding.
There's a certain je ne sais quoi about hearing those coins hit. I remember those. I loved it. Well, those kind of machines, second floor. They also have this thing called the Sigma Derby, which is, you know, those, it's a mechanical horses that run around like this. That's there. So you put your quarter in, you bet. People are yelling and screaming. It's a pretty good time. And they don't say, it's the same kind of thing. So if you go to their website right now and look around for that, you'll see gaming, one word about Sigma Derby, but you're not going to know anything else about what's going on up there, which I don't understand. I think that's a really cool thing that they did. I think it's kind of a miss for them. But that's it for Fremont Street. Now, is there anything else that we can do on in the Fremont Street experience? Why, yes, there is, young man. I will say, do this. Go down to 3rd Street. I don't want to go to the Long Bar. I want to go somewhere else. Okay, instead of turning right into D Bar, go down to 3rd Street. Keep on going. Now, what about parking, Scott? I'm going to give you the coolest free parking tip in downtown. You ready? Here's what you do. What's the name of that casino that's on 3rd Street?
It used to be the Lady Luck.
It's called the Grand.
Right.
So the Grand, the people who own the Grand are the same people who own much of what's on 3rd Street.
Right.
So here's what you do. Here's the tip. You go and do valet parking at the Grand. Now, you're going to go into valet parking, and it says it's paid valet parking, and you will panic, as you should.
Sure.
Because you really shouldn't be paying for valet parking here. But don't panic. Just go, hey, thank you. Here's my ticket. Now, here's what they do. They're going to give you a ticket. And the ticket does two things. It will save you later. But it also has a text number that you get to text your number, your text when you're ready. I love this.
Okay.
So when you come back, your car will be waiting for you when you text from somewhere else.
Right.
I love that. Here's what you do. You go to Triple George. Great restaurant. We've talked about it before as our power lunch suggestion. Good food, good drinks, good bar, good location. Or you can go to, let's say, Hogs and Heifer. Very different vibe, but hysterical vibe. You got to go to Hogs and Heifer. Don't
miss
Hogs and Heifer.
A lot of fun.
Yep. Very, very fun. What more can you ask for than have a woman with a megaphone yelling and making fun of you?
Yeah.
I call that my first marriage.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
I've been married for 20 years, just not in a row.
Yeah. I'm still on my first marriage.
And no one likes a break.
Yeah.
Or Pizza Rock. Pizza Rock's a very popular restaurant as well. All those guys Well, I actually don't know about Hogs and Heifer, but Triple George and Pizza Rock, they will validate your Valley parking sticker thing. So you go in there, you go to Triple George, eat, drink, and be merry. They validate it. You go back, you hand it to them, it costs you nada. Nice. How cool is that?
Very good.
You're welcome. Huge
good tip.
Base.
Good tip.
Now, is there more going on downtown? Of course there is. The whole Fremont East thing. Are we going to talk about that now? No. We're going to talk about Fremont East in some subsequent show later on because there's a whole shitload of stuff going down there. Much of it's pretty good. Some of it not. But a lot of it's pretty good. So we'll talk about that on a different show. But that's it. Fremont Street, 17 million people. If it's good enough for Disneyland, if it's good enough for 38% of the people, you should definitely go down there and have a good time. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And we will be right back.
This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com.
Oh, damn it.
What'd you do?
I was talking to you and it was.
No.
Now it's
time for Listen to Me, Little Scott. He's the boy to the rat. Now it's time for Listen to Me, Little Where. Living in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Okay, this is part of the show where we read your questions. Now, how can I get my questions answered? Fair enough, you're going to send an email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. I will read the emails if it's from a gentleman, and Brett will read them if it's from a non-gentleman, or what we call a female.
Or somebody who uses a different bathroom.
Eventually, that had to come out from you. Okay, our first question
is... Let's bend over backwards for 0.3% of the population.
Steven.
That's what we're doing. Give me a fucking break. Okay. Let's worry about pee and poop while the world burns.
Can I offer you a Percocet?
Yeah, I could.
All right.
Maybe Prince has a few answers.
Steve, he does now. Steven Rhodes writes, Laird Scott. I believe that is like Lord, but
no,
Lairdy.
Or Lard.
Or no, it's not Lard. He didn't call me a fat ass, and if he did, that wasn't very nice. Yeah,
it's a tough way to start a thing.
He's from UK. The UK people are usually much nicer. Okay, would it be possible for you to send me Aaron the Card Maker's details? I am looking to have a mega Vegas card made for my other half who's turning 50 soon. It would be great. From a fellow Las Vegas fan. Thank you, Steve Rhodes. I absolutely can do that. By the way, if you're wondering what she did, she has done this. She created this awesome bit of 3D cardness. Boink, 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 boink.
Man.
And she also created this awesome bit of 3D cardness. Can you see that?
Yeah. I'm over here with my Lulu French thing.
Oh, sans chien.
Yeah, very nice.
Right, so she is, I've tried to negotiate $90 per card. I've been told that is stupid.
Okay.
and not reasonable. But what I'll do, Stephen, is I will pass along your information to her. I will provide her the part where you called me a lard ass, and then I'll let her decide whether she wants to work with you or not. But thank you for the email. I think it's a great idea. I think she should be making some money on that because she's very talented. All right, next up, Todd asks, hey, saw your Facebook post on getting your air conditioning installed in your business. Since it's my field, I'm wondering, as an estimator,
why didn't you call me?
How much did that cost? I want to know how much that cost. Was it turnkey? What kind of unit did you go with? Just interested in all that kind of stuff because I bid on that kind of work in Oklahoma. Here, thanks, Bud Todd from, I'm going to say Poughkeepsie because he didn't tell me where he's from.
Well, I don't think there's a Poughkeepsie, Oklahoma. Why don't we just say Enid?
Enid, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Is there an Enid?
Yeah, there's an Enid.
Excellent. So here's the cool thing about that, Todd. I paid nothing for that air conditioning unit in my business. I've actually had two brand new air conditioning units installed in my property where the main studio is. I have two sides to my studio, a business side and a studio side. Last year I had the studio side air conditioning replaced. This year I had the business side replaced, and it didn't cost me a penny. Well, how is that possible, Scott? And the reason is because I pay what is basically an insurance on the air conditioning. So every month, along with my rent or my lease, I pay a little extra that goes to the air conditioning fund, basically. And it's like $90 or whatever it is. And it just goes and goes and goes. And if nothing goes wrong, well, they get an extra $90. But if something goes wrong, I get a new air conditioner. Now, I don't know what those things cost.
Well, how long you been there for?
Well, I've only been there for a couple of years, but that property has been
there
for...
You spend $2,000, and you get two new air conditioners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those things are big mothers.
They're huge.
So they probably would have cost you about $8,000 to $10,000, $12,000.
Each.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I may have saved between $16,000 and $24,000, minus $2,000.
Now I would stop doing it because they're under warranty.
Can't do that.
Why?
Because that's the agreement. That's part of the lease.
Okay.
So now they make out. So what? I was so damn happy wasn't happy when they failed, but I'm like, yeah, daddy's not paying for that. All right. Want to read this one?
Sure. It's a long one from Laura. Hello, boys.
Hey.
Greetings from a cold but dry northeast Scotland.
Scotland, wherever.
Well, if you put some pants on instead of wearing kilts around, you wouldn't know. That's she's a woman. The women don't wear the kilts, just the guys.
That's right.
Yeah, women are smart.
Why I want to go to Scotland.
Women are smart.
I want to go to Scotland so I can wear a skirt.
One of the country's papers yesterday in its travel section showcased downtown Las Vegas as a destination, calling it a cooler, more chilled out part of Vegas, with the bottom line being if you don't go, you're more missing out. If highlighted the fabulous Neon Museum, the Mob Museum Container Park, and especially their mac and cheese balls at Park. I've been watching your videos for a while now and remember you covered the entire strip. And I thought it was very cool with every hotel. So my question is, why aren't you doing it for downtown Las Vegas? Well, we just did.
And this is the email.
Because
that
of
had me.
You.
This is it.
Laura, way to go. What else is cool and must see in downtown? Any hidden secrets? Food and drink places. We're missing retro, cool, and trendy. Spill those secrets, guys. I had one friend who visited Vegas before me last year and never made it to downtown Las Vegas. Hope the treatments are going well, Brett, and you're on the mend. Scott, that had him was way too easy for a change.
Get this.
Have
read
a great
this.
Week in sunny weather. P.S.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read it.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh. It was the beer house at the park at New York, New York, right for Haddam.
Nope.
Oh, she got it wrong. Well, there you go.
We had more wrong than we've had in quite some time, and I thought that was so funny. Oh, yeah, it's New York. It's a beer house, right? No. So we basically did talk about where we think you should go, you know. But like I said, my go-to place, if you just want to take somebody or you want to go yourself, go see my camera. I'd go and see or go and eat at Hugo Cellar, because that's kind of a quintessential groovy downtown kind of thing.
Oscars, I try Oscars too. I hear good things about Oscars.
Oscars, I think that's up there. But in that order, I'd probably go that order. Okay. Let's do a couple of real quick stories real fast. Again, thanks to Mike. Thanks to Christina last week for doing the introductory video for us. Here's what you do. We want you all to do this. All you have to do is send an email with a video attached or an audio file with a picture of yourself attached. And it should say, hi, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois. Fill in your name and your city. And you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network, and then you can do something goofy. Just a reminder, when you're shooting the video or taking the picture, you don't want to shoot it like this. You want to shoot it like that. So not portrait. You want to do it like that. Landscape, okay? Do it. If you're in the live chat, by the way, all of you, and there's a whole bunch of you, there is no reason why people in the live chat shouldn't be sending in a boatload of these. And I'm watching you. I've decided we're going to play a new rule for Have a Drink on Me. If you're in the live chat, you get a double unless you've not sent in one of those introductory videos that I'm taking one away from you. That doesn't seem fair, but that's what I'm going to do. Hey, had a real nice dinner last Sunday with a recent Have a Drink on Me winner. These are the Santas, Glenn and Kelly. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E, the Santas.
So that's what happens to Santa in April. He shaves his head.
There you go.
Yeah.
Incognito.
Yeah.
Real nice couple. We had a lovely time. This is another one of our favorite restaurants. If you don't want to go downtown, but you want to go to a great restaurant, go to this place. This is called Echo and Rig. It's in the Tivoli Village area over in Summerlin. Probably one of my top three or four restaurants in all of Las Vegas. My favorite restaurant, not on the Strip. It's a great, great place. Go there. And what's very nice about Glenn and Kelly is that they're givers. So he did a reverse have a drink on me.
No, he bought you a drink.
He brought me.
No, he brought you a Syracuse visor.
A Syracuse visor.
The orange.
Isn't that nice? It's a pretty well-built, I mean, it's no Vegas yeah, video network nice. Visor, but it's pretty slick. So now go
I
orange.
Do like that color.
It is nice, isn't it? Yeah. And look how thick that is.
Yeah, very nice. It's very nice and brushing.
It's very good.
And blessing. Yeah.
And he got Melissa these really thick orange and black or whatever they are socks.
Cool.
She's and they thought it was kind of like a joke. And she's like, no, I'm cold in the winter. I'll be wearing these. And I'm like, that's great. I just read where it's better to sleep naked. She's like, shut the fuck up. You're not. I'm wearing these. All right. Thanks, babe. Next up, Beer House. We went to the Beer House, which was not the Haddam last week. This was fun.
Yeah.
We were empty. There. It was Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Not a big crowd, but a good place. I was happy about it. Enjoyed
You're avoiding
it.
The $20 parking. It happens later at night.
Yeah, that's actually a good question. Yeah, there was no parking cost. I parked at the New York parking structure, which is great. It's free and Brett's right. So basically the consensus is they're not charging for parking for anybody if an event is not happening. Now, that night, George Strait was playing. Pretty sure that yep. night, probably around 4 or 5 o'clock, that place started charging for parking. But when we were there that day, no parking cost at all. So went there. It was a really cool place. Here's what I like about this place a lot. They have a lot of the games that I enjoy. So they have cornhole, which I learned in prison.
Killing me, Smalls.
So they have cornhole, and they have Jenga, little Jenga, and giant Jenga.
Oh.
They have ping pong, which I am a fan of.
There you go.
They have
shuffleboard.
The one that I like with the big metal pucks. That's my favorite yeah. bar game of all bar games, and they have it.
Oh, with the sawdust on it.
Yeah. With the I love.
Yeah,
that.
That's a great game.
I just
game.
Love that game.
It is.
So we were playing that, having a good time. But the other thing that they have there is thieves.
Okay.
Here's why. This is how my beer was served to me. In a lovely logoed pint. And if you look clearly just below the logo, it says, this is not a souvenir glass.
I can imagine they're going through some glasses earlier.
There is no question people are stealing these glasses, which I thought was pretty funny. Now, there was one other thing. I didn't take a picture of this yet because I haven't decided how I want to do this. But they have a photo booth in there. And I'll take a picture of this so you can see it. So they have this photo booth in there, and it's some stupid, ungodly amount of money to do it. I don't know, $5 for it, or $8 for five pictures. That's not the issue. There are some pictures on the photo booth of happy, you know, young couples doing stuff.
Right.
So one of the guys, it's a girl and a guy, and they're like doing this, and the guy does this. He's doing this. Do you know what this means?
The shaka.
Well,
I know exactly what it means.
Maybe.
So no, I know exactly what it is.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say it.
Well,
so.
I am.
Okay.
I looked at that and I almost had to steal that beer because I had to leave. I was laughing so hard. So what I'm doing, for those of you who are listening to the show, is I've got my hand out. I have my first finger and my ring finger pointed out. And then my first finger and my middle finger pointed at straight. My ring finger is bent, and then my pinky is out. All right. So there's there's a band here that plays in Southern California and plays in Las Vegas. And they have a line that goes something like two pinks and a stinky.
Yep.
And it's a super well-known line. As a matter of fact, they were playing Fremont Street.
Steel Panther.
Yeah, Steel Panther. They were playing Fremont Street about 3 years ago. I think it was a New Year's thing. And they had a huge crowd. And they were playing this song. And imagine 5,000 people doing this in the middle of the street. So this guy's doing this in this photo booth. And no one's aware of what this symbolism means. So I
so the manager hasn't really been paying attention.
Okay, so
he thought it was funny.
I'll get a picture of it and show you, because I don't know if this means anything else. Apparently, you think it might mean something else. Besides,
no, I know exactly what it was.
The tube and the why would they do that?
It's called a shocker.
A shocker. Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't know what it's called. Okay.
Just go to Urban Dictionary.
So when you go there, if you go to Beer House, take a picture of that and send it to me, and I'll put it up as if somebody else discovered it and sent it to me. And I also mentioned this briefly. Last week was an amazing week. The sun was out. Birds were singing. And when I went, I walked by my pool and thought, well, let me just go check what the temperature is in the pool. And it was 82 degrees. You hear that? That's heaven, people. That's heaven, people talk. It's angels singing, dogs and cats finally getting along. This is what happens, by the way, when you've got solar heating on your pool. It basically increases your pool season by a month. Easy. So,
is that solar powered or you're heating it up?
Solar powered. Okay. No heating whatsolever. My 400,000 BTU. Solar. Yeah, but no paid heating. So I was like, wow, this is going to be great. This weekend, I'm going to have the best time ever. We are going to.
Nope.
I mean, as a matter of fact,
I just liked your picture. You were doing the Hugh Hefner.
This picture.
And I'm going, I think you're a little premature, Scotty.
I was ready. This is the Welcome to the Arches at Whitney Villa picture that several shots were taken. I had a professional photographer do that, Melissa. And was very proud of the shot. I had a brand new robe, very comfortable. The pool was ready to go. I was free balling in that shot, if anybody cares. And I thought, okay. We're close now.
It's going commando.
This time last year, it was pool season, had started. I was feeling pretty comfortable, pretty excited, and in fact, a complete shit show. It was so windy. We blew another umbrella, blew it up, blew it out, knocked over chairs, broke the umbrella, broke glasses. Sick of this wind. Had it.
We actually have, Chicago is called the Windy City, but not because of the wind.
Politics.
It's called politics.
That's right.
So we actually, ironically, have more wind than Chicago does anyway.
Oh, I bet we do.
We do. And we're one of the windiest places there is.
And you know why that is, by the way?
Well, it's nice because when it's 110 degrees, a little breeze is, it feels like a, hot
it's like a blast furnace. Blowing you,
but it's better than stagnant air that just beats on you.
Maybe. We're and right now this week it's just craptastic weather the whole week. So I don't know who promised us the weather. There are weathermen right now on all the major news stations who are getting the shit beat out of them because they're all liars. Oh yeah, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be sunny. Yeah, all right, Mr. Jared or whatever your name is. All right, Chat Potpourri. We got a bunch of questions from last week that I didn't get a chance to talk. So we're gonna hit a couple of those, and we got one from this week. First of all, Mike Q wants to know: does Las Vegas have a stand your ground or castle doctrine law? They do. Two different laws. They mean two different things. Nevada is a pretty aggressive gun positive state. This is one of the few states where, for example, you don't have to have a reason to get a concealed weapon permit. Like, for example, in California, you have to say why you need a permit.
No.
And they have to discern. What's California? Is that a big shock? Not really. But there, for instance, if you say, I am a bank or I run a small business and it's a bar and at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm taking all my cash receipts to deposit. That's probably a good reason to have a gun.
Yeah.
But if you are a owner of a video production company and I work basically in the daytime and I leave sometimes at night, but it's pretty safe area, they'd be like, no.
Being stalked by the Kardashians? Wouldn't work?
Well, that would work for anybody.
Yeah.
But here, all you have to do is say, I would like to be able to carry a gun, and I would like a permit, and they go, yep. And
it's probably, we got to pass the test.
Oh, yeah, you have to pass. Yeah, you have to go through a test. There's a written
gotta
test.
Got to go through a class.
Yeah, you got to go through the class, and you got to be proficient.
You got to spend a Saturday.
That's right. It's an eight-hour class, and you got to shoot some stuff. And you can use your own gun. They prefer you use your own gun, but you can even rent a gun if you just want to be able to have the permit. So I know people who have permits. I don't have one. I'm going to get one, though, just because I think it'd be an interesting show to go through. So Vegas, Nevada is a pretty aggressive protect yourself kind of thing. But I'm actually beginning to read a book now about protecting yourself. And you have to be careful about using any force that causes injury, deadly or otherwise. Basically the rule is this: you can protect yourself as long as you can prove it you are afraid. But we've all seen these videos before where, you know, some guy is kind of picking on a guy and an old guy just knocks him out.
Right.
You'll notice most times the old guy walks away, which is super smart. Because if you knock somebody out or you injure somebody and you continue to cause pain, and that's a problem. That gets you busted. So, yes, you can have a gun. Yes, you can shoot somebody if you feel an intimate risk, they're breaking into your house. But if you shoot them once and you knock them down and you keep shooting them, that's going to be a problem.
Well,
for you.
If they're inside the house, it makes a difference. If they're leaving the property and you shoot them in your front yard, you'll have an issue.
That's right, because you're not in imminent risk. So you've got to be cautious with that. All right, Mad Chipmunk wants to know, how common is it for part-time residents of Las Vegas to own a home in the burbs instead of a condo?
Right, extremely common.
So here, I think what he means is, well, actually, he's in the live chat.
If you want to have a second home, do you buy a condo or a house that you want to visit? And I'd say there's...
How common is it for a part-time
I'd
resident?
Say it's extremely common. I know a lot of people that... My business partner, he bought a house
over
a decade ago. When he comes to town every 6 weeks, he hangs out for a week and a half in his house, and home he goes.
Yeah, they're called snowbirds. Yep. So the if you go to any of the I almost said Sin Cities, any of the Sun Cities, of which there are three of them here in Las Vegas. There's one in Aliante, one in Summerlin, one down in Anthem, which is in Henderson. Yeah. Those are the large senior communities, which means you're 55 and over. By the way, I have an issue with that for obvious reasons. If 30% of the people there aren't snowbirds, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, you really see it in June, July, August, because they're from Chicago, New York, Michigan, wherever, and they go home for the summer and enjoy their summers, and then they come back around Thanksgiving or something.
So snowbirds for sure are like that. My mom and dad, and my mom and stepdad were like that. They had a place in Arizona that they were only there half the year. Now, for other folks, perfect example, we have some friends who are doing that right now. As a matter of fact, one of our co-op winners, I won't mention who he is, who's been coming here for a long time. He owns a property in the Northwest area. He doesn't live here, but it's a condo, but it's out in Centennial Hills. We've had Hills. One of our living in Las Vegas lawyer had a home out here for a while, and he just recently sold it. So it's pretty common, and part of the reason why it's so common is housing is cheap out here.
Yeah,
it doesn't take much.
Well, you can buy a nice house for $250,000 or a nice condo for $240,000, and go, wait a second, I got just as much room, and I got my own pool, and I don't have to do stuff.
But here's what's interesting. So I think we've talked about this briefly. Housing is going up again. The BLM just sold $90 million of land today.
Of course they did.
To basically folks building houses. So and those houses sold. Mostly Southwest area.
Okay.
So kind of what's that master plan?
Southern Highlands?
Yeah. Well, no. What's that
mountain
master
plan? Mountain's Edge.
Mountain's Edge. So that general area kind of around IKEA.
Butts
up
against.
Yeah, it's at the very end of the.
It butts up against Southern Highlands.
Yeah.
Down by Decatur and Blue Diamond.
Yeah, yeah. So it's beginning to happen again. Well, but they're also selling parcels in the IKEA area as well. So it's beginning to happen again, where they're seeing housing go up. But what's the difference is back in 2005, 2006, it was going up at a stupid, unsustainable pace. Anybody paying attention would go, we're doomed. Here, it's going up at a much more reasonable pace. It's more in line with what's happening in the economy. Okay, next up, we've got Jimmy wants to know, what political party do workers and dealers tend to lean to?
They don't have a choice. They have to be in the union, and they're told what to do.
That's right, which means they're Democrats, and that's basically it.
They carry Harry Reid's water.
They certainly do. Jimmy also wants to know, do I use an outside source for my artwork and my logos? I do. So the Vegas Video Network, Vegas Video Co-op, Podworks, Arches of Whitney Villa, all those logos were done by somebody outside. I didn't do those logos. Danny wants to know, what do you think will happen as crime in Las Vegas increases and social treatment of police decreases? Will the tourist industry suffer social treatment?
I think the biggest problem with a lot of this is, everything's on social media. So the new generation of 22-year-olds, 21-year-olds, and I have one, they're voyeurs. They'd rather shoot videos of people getting in fights or being drunk or being in despair than helping somebody. And then, God forbid, somebody's actually doing something wrong and the police have to step in and do something. They're looking for police brutality and all that kind of stuff. And I think the biggest problem is these Bernie Sanders supporters, these kids, think that everything's free. There's no consequences for their actions. That's a huge problem. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You know, look at all the political protests going out now. People think they can just go disrupt anything they want to disrupt just because they disagree with somebody. I mean, they're offended because they saw the word Trump. Well, maybe you never played euchre before, but damn it, I like Trump. Give me as much Trump as you can so I can play euchre. I'll never lose. Or pinochle or hearts, whatever. Well, if you play cards, you know what these things are. Come on. I think it's going to get worse. And I feel sorry for young white kids.
I don't. Well, the tourist industry will not suffer at all in that regard.
Except these people have no jobs. They're all art history majors.
That's not the question.
Vagina studies.
That's not the question, majors. Though. But she's saying, what do you think will happen in crime as Las Vegas increases social treatment decreases? There hasn't been a lot of let me back this out a little bit. So, Vegas police are known as being particularly aggressive.
They are,
and part of the reason they're probably have that reputation is because they're trying to protect the tourists.
They can't afford to mess around.
Right, and we get 40 million people here, half of which are drunk. Right. So we see a larger quantity of misbehavior than 40 million people who might go to New York or whatever it is, because we invite that kind of behavior. But that also invites a more aggressive police department. It's kind of more expected. Now, if they go out of line, they're going to get shit. For example, they shoot somebody at fucking Costco. That might be a problem if the guy was unarmed.
Let's go back to the last summer with the Black Lives Matter protest that went on in San Diego with 50 to 100 people shutting down the highway in San Diego and other places around the country. Let's say 50 to 100 people tried to shut down the Las Vegas Strip. First of all, the cops would laugh. They'd say,
though,
here's what you guys got. You got about two choices. You can disperse, or you can hop in the paddy wagon and spend the night in jail.
So I guarantee you that's happened here already on this trip.
It hasn't.
Taxi drivers did it.
Well,
taxi drivers did it.
That's them striking.
But you said it didn't happen.
That's them striking.
But same thing.
That's different. There's people actually with jobs.
Yeah, but they don't give a shit who has a job and who doesn't when they're stopping traffic. Your argument was you can't stop truck on a ship. Bullshit. It happens. So that's not it. What's really happening?
That might have been a legal protest.
There's no fucking way that a bunch of taxi drivers.
Well, I don't know.
It's not possible. Well, legal protest.
Were they in the middle of this? I don't recall them.
They're the fucking street. They stopped traffic.
I didn't recall seeing that.
So you can't.
I'll take your word.
Look, here's the deal. Here's the truth. Adults aren't afraid of social media. The police aren't afraid of social media. They're not afraid of it.
No, I disagree.
I don't.
It's a huge PR battle. It's all PR.
I don't think the what was the thing that you saw that was of interest? Okay, whatever.
What Andy said, I worry about the quality of the police will go down. Who wants that job with a lack of respect these days for the police? I think it's a valid question.
That's a valid point. Yeah. So, but the thing is, are they being backed up by their government? Well, first of all, by their captains or whatever those people are called. And
we have an
government.
Elected sheriff.
Yeah, so are they getting support from there? I think they do. I'm trying to figure out, have there been a lot of heat on Las Vegas police for overreacting to something?
No,
I can't think of anything. If the Costco thing comes up, it's like, why'd you shoot him? I'm trying to think, were there other examples where it became a problem? I don't think Las Vegas has really seen a lot of heat from a social media perspective for their behavior. I mean, I've talked about them, but myself, I think they're a little gung-ho.
Well, I think if you mess with them, and guys are agreeing with me, if you mess with Metro, they're taking you down.
Yeah, I don't, to some extent, I think, you know, I mess with them. They didn't take me down. We debated.
Well, yours wasn't the same.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
You were just being a smartass.
Yeah, I was. And
being sarcastic, and the guy was having fun with you.
But I was right. And that was the problem was I was right. Now, you know, I've had several black guys who heard my story said, I never would do that.
Right.
And if I was a black guy, maybe I wouldn't do it either. So there's, so that's there. But I can't really think of Metro. Actually, there was a time about a year ago they were getting some heat for some stuff. But they, I think they get a bit of a pass because they're in Las Vegas, and that and we're because and here's part of the pass. Tourists want the police to be badasses because they want to come to Las Vegas and not have to worry about bad guys hurting them.
I agree.
So I want the cops to be I want to see the cops run around doing things and making bad guys go away because I'm coming here for my 4.4 days and God damn it, I don't want to be harassed by bad guys or bad things happening, and I want the police to protect me.
I agree.
That. All right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a restaurant bar or a lounge or a pub or something like that. And if you can guess what that thing is, what that location is, well, you can win some pretty groovy things. That doesn't seem likely, but it is likely. What, Scott, can they win?
Oh, they can win some cool stuff. Scott, I'm Brett, Vegas Video Network Visor.
Fair enough.
Comes in great array of rainbow colors, including black, which is not part of the rainbow.
No, you're right.
No. Great original music, Crisp Acoustic and Gajazzathon. And the sequel to one of those two.
Or
a Red Stripe bun.
Or
Scott's
a drink on
lager of choice today.
Today, because I am Jamaican. Just look at my suntan.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Brett.
You're welcome.
All right. We had 27 of 29 correct inputs, which is another high for us. Not the highest of high, but it's a tie for last week's high. Last week, we showed this location. Bum-ba-da-da-da-da. Oh, I almost forgot to do the thing. I almost forgot this last week as well. That's the location that we showed. But here's what I almost forgot. The part, the reason why people get visors. Sometimes I forget this because I'm so overwhelmed.
The glare?
Yes, the glare. But the real reason why people get visors is because they want to be part of a society of
visor wearers.
Well, yeah. The Society of Visor Weather, which is a SVW. But that's the nickname. What they're really known for is the gallery. Or Galaxy of God. There's Rob and Glenn, who I had dinner with. He didn't wear the outfit. There's Jimmy and Bob. Bob's wife is right here. I forgot her name. I've been in Russia. Okay, I haven't, but Stuart has. There's Binky and Bub and Craig. And Michael. There's Scott and Shannon. By the way, there's Alan. And his better half, Erin, who's gonna make $90 cause I sold her cards. There's Pops and Sammy and your buddy Scott and Jackie. And then there is Christina, who has babies because of my music. That's unlikely, but thank God Brett's dad is listening, because I'm not gonna cuss. There's Don and a dog and Wayne and a new one in Hawaii, and he still remembered to bring a Gajazzathon CD. Ken is the best guy in That's the right. world, and there's Mike.
Look out!
Where we don't Mike? Make fun of Mike. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're looking at Kenny.
Shit. There's Mike. Oh, and there's Danny, and finally there is Brett.
There's Brett.
Okay. Here you go. Ready?
I'm ready.
27 out of 29. By the way, how do you get points? You get one for a correct answer. If you're in the live chat and you have a correct answer, we double your pleasure, double your fun.
We have to tell them what it is.
I did. Remember?
No, you never said the name of the bar.
Oh, California Pizza Kitchen.
Oh, CPK.
CPK. California Pizza Kitchen at the park. And two episodes ago, I said, I can pretty much guarantee this will be a Hattem.
Yeah, you did.
Which I also gave as a clue. Okay. So how do you get extra wins? First, you get one for a correct answer. If you're in the live chat during this and you have a correct answer, we get a double. If you are the very first person to provide a correct answer, you get a double. And if you send us a picture of the Gajazzathon CD in the wild with a picture of you in it, you get another one as well. We've got a couple examples of that. Okay, here we go. Ready? Number one. Whoops. Number one. Michael Snow, Chicago Snowman, guess what? He gets a one for being correct. He gets another one for being in the live chat. He gets another one for being the very first correct answer. That's a triple for Mr. Snowman. Rob Cole. Rob gets one for being in the correct answer. And he gets another one for being in the live chat. Congratulations, Rob. Rob will show himself a little bit later here. Stand by. Mike Lazowski, known as Mad Chipmunk, one for the correct answer, one for the live chat. Rob C, also known as Rob 068, Pittsburgh. Is he in there? I'm not seeing him right now. Whoops. So he gets a single. Tom U, Tom Ugline, which is French for I'm very clean. He is in the live chat, Tom U. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Marie Rogers, longtime audience member of the Living in Las Vegas. She gets one. Gary Romberg, Mr. Testicles. Sorry, Mr. Testy. He gets one. Mike Beatty. I think that's a new one in there. Glenn Santa, who's often in the live chat, but he's out partying in Las Vegas. So he gets a single. Monica Fagan, also known as
the
Binky.
Bink.
The Binkers. She gets one. Mike Q, we know Mike Q's in there. He gets one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. We got Gregor Tappa. Gregor has been in there and chatting furiously, so Gregor gets one for the correct answer, one for the live chat. And Eric Hansen, often referred to as Airport Limbo. I'm not seeing him in the live chat right now.
He was.
Was he in there?
Oh, maybe it was Ted.
Okay, next up we've got Michael Gerzwiskowski from Exalt, Wisconsin. He says, keep up the great work, love the show. Thank you, Mike. Craig Daughtry, Vegas Dog 222. Craig is in the live chat, one for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. Craig has actually been to Las Vegas more than I have. Kevin Whips. Kevin was a winner last week. What does that mean?
He's greedy.
It means that WHIP stands for we ignore people's fairness. No, God damn it. That's not how this plays. I'm not thinking what you're thinking.
We went over, by the way.
Did we? What are we on? No, we're all right. Jim Shupenko from California, PA. He writes, he loves the show, and we love you. Steve Rhodes from Sooty from the UK. He is going to be here in 2 days.
Nice.
Andy Z from Winnipeg, Canada writes, he loves the podcast.
Sweet.
I like that. Next up, we've got some emails written in. Michael B. Mike writes, dear Scott and hopefully healing Brett, this week's Haddam is amongst the snow cones from hell. It's the newest California pizza kitchen. I am another Mike from Chicago, a hockey fan. Hellhole? No. I stick with the Surac tag. What's that mean, Surac?
Chirac.
Chirac.
Which is Chicago, Iraq, combined together.
What? Why?
Chirac. Because of the amount of people getting killed in Chicago. They call it Chirac. No, it's true.
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's insane.
Yep.
That's funny. Okay. Aaron Perry. Now, Aaron did a reverse Haddam.
Oh.
She writes, she sent us this.
Dang.
Hello, Scott. This week you get to guess the name of the bar and see if you can win a drink on us. Here are your three clues. Dirks was drunk on a plane on the way to this popular vacation destination. This place is also known for its excellent service. If you are feeling down, just head to this bar and soak up away your troubles. The name of the bar is pretty much displayed on the CD holding behind us, blah, 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 blah. Here's a funny thing. The name of the bar was on the name of the file she sent for this picture. So it's Excellence River Cocoon. So I win. And she gets a double because she sent a picture in. Did you give her a double there?
I did. Yes, I did.
I thought I saw you do that. Very good. Point. Neil Mitchell. Neil writes. One for Neil. I know it. I know it with still not seeing the video episode of Living in Las Vegas because I am clever and I listen to you speak. I remember you saying that the California Pizza Kitchen at the park has a cool facade. This is incidental, almost next door to the beer place with the Jenga, where the four of us will be getting very pissed, which means drunk in the English term. Am I right? Tell me I'm right. I know I'm right. Cheers for now. Look forward to having a drink with you guys.
Cool.
And Alan Perry. Would you like to read one?
Sure.
Alan writes.
AP writes, hi guys, the head and bar this week is the new CPK at the MGM Promenade thingy. I can't wait to check out the new park. Looks beautiful in the pictures that I have seen. Thanks for the tour a couple of weeks ago. Have a good one, Vegas, baby. Just about a month till our next visit. I need my Vegas fix. AP from the Prescott, Arizona.
Yeah, I think you can. Then, multimedia. First up, we've got Ken Anderson. Ken, he's in the live chat. He gets one for the live chat. He gets one for the right answer, one for the live chat. And I'm going to give him another one for this.
That's Mick Fleetwood.
Ken with Mick Fleetwood.
How did Rob get in there?
And Rob, you're going to see wearing one of our visors. Isn't that pretty cool? Thank you.
I saw that picture today, but Rob was not in that picture.
He didn't.
He wasn't.
He was holding back so he could win now.
Oh, okay.
I know. Next, we've got, of course, Pops. Pops gets one for the correct answer, one for the live chat, and one for this.
Hey, kids. This week, Scott made it real easy when he said, just go back 2 weeks to when I said this.
I promise you, take a good look at that. There will be a time where that becomes a have a drink on me.
You know the answer. California Pizza Kitchen there at the new park in New York, New York. Tell them guys from California, they got some strange ideas about pizza. Ordered a pizza with anchovy and
these nuts.
This is what I got.
Hey, on my favorite food.
No. Not those nuts. These nuts. Got
them. All right. Thank you, Pops. Very well done. And of course, last but not least, our Scorsese, our Tarantino. Rob gets one, or Bob gets one for the correct answer. Bob gets another one for being in the live chat, and a third one for this opus.
Hey, guys. This week's bar and restaurant is California Pizza Kitchen. Located at the park, a walkway between New York, New York and Monte Carlo Casino Hotels. It has an outdoor patio, full bar, and open kitchen centered around the hearth oven, offering signature tossed hot-baked pizzas, pastas, salads, premium wines, craft beers, and cocktails. Pops, it wasn't my intention to make a monkey out of you. You're a king in my book. But you have to stop hanging out with
these.
You guys have a good one, and we'll see you next week.
Well, how do they get in the videos that fast?
I'm not sure where that video came from. That I wonder if that was mine. But it looked a little jerky, so I don't know where...
Well, it's got to be yours then.
What? There's other people.
This is how I shoot the video.
Is it? Fuck off. All right, here we go.
Speaking of which, I need to do that, by the way.
Yeah, Chicago Snowman is that the video that Scott shot?
I don't know.
Tell us, Bob.
Steve
no,
said spam.
I didn't think it was because it was all jerky and shit and kind of out of focus.
Did you go down there and do it yourself?
Well, he didn't do it. He's
well, that could be a nice little homework
he's
assignment.
In Poughkeepsie. All right, here we go.
Oh, he's in Poughkeepsie. I thought he was a Vegas guy.
No, not Bob.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Why would you live in Poughkeepsie?
I just make that up.
Oh, okay.
That's my favorite place to be.
From.
Yes,
Bob. All right, here we go. He has
the winner is
Stephen Rhodes.
Stephen, fuck.
The dude from the UK. Yeah, be here in 2 days.
Oh, awesome. He's going to be
here
in 2 days.
2 days.
Great. So, Stephen, you win. Please contact me because I really don't want to mail something out to you at the UK. So, contact me uber quickly so that I can give you that which you dream of. All right, let's look at this week's Have a Drink on Me.
Ooh, that's pretty.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah.
It is pretty. Okay. Here are our three hints.
Yeah, I have to say, I am never right on these things. Now, I don't Google and cheat.
That's good.
But I look at them, and I still can't figure them out.
All right. Here's this week's Have a Drink on Me. Hint number one. There are 10,000 bottles and $10 million of a particular type of beverage in this place.
Okay.
10,000 bottles and $10 million. Of this particular type of beverage in this particular place. Hint number two. Yeah, you don't want a whole bottle. That's cool. They've got 100 different by the glass options as well. If you don't want to buy a whole bottle, don't you worry your pretty little head. They've got 100 different by the glass options as well. And hint number three. This off-strip property must be a big hit with George Benson. What with its masquerade village location.
Okay, I got that one.
This off-strip property must be a big hit with George Benson, what with its Masquerade Village location. If you know the answer, you're going to send the email to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. There you go, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for playing along. If you want to send an email to us, you're going to send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. Send a video to us, an opening video. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Talk about our show and the Vegas Video Network. We'll put you at the very front. You're going to be famous. Right now, by the way, both Christina and Mike have just been offered thousands and millions of dollars because of their opening video. But there's more to that. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do that super easily. All you have to do is go to our website. You're going to click the little red tab on the right side. That'll bring up a little window, and you're going to send us a voicemail because you have a microphone attached.
Is this Domino's?
To you. I like to have a pizza burrito, please. Pizza burrito. All right. We're also on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. We're also on the YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. And, hey, share us with all of your friends. And besides those two, we're on Roku with over 32,000 accounts installed. And where else? Well, hell, we're on the Stitcher and the TuneIn and the Chromecast and the Apple, Google, and Fire TV. Google Play just launched their podcast capabilities. We're among the first podcasters that are doing that. Sweet. So you can find us on Google Play. And, of course, you can find us on VegasVideoNetwork.com. I'm your host, Scott Whitney. That's your host, Brett Crane, who's giving me two stinks and a pink, or two pinks and a stink, or something along those lines. Good God. Go to Beer House, take a picture of that photo booth, and send it to your buddies over at onairq@livinginlv.com. We'll see you guys next week on the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody. Ticket.